If you'd like to turn, if you've got a church Bible, to page 268, that's where Ruth chapter 2 is in the church Bibles, and it's just after the book of Judges, if you don't have a church Bible, page 268. And in a few moments' time, I'm going to ask if somebody would like to read the first 12 verses, which I'm going to introduce. Ruth chapter 2. But first of all, I'd like to tell you about this amazing present that I got for my wife's birthday last year. I bought us tickets for the Albany Theatre, New Cross. You ever been there? It was an evening of circus cabaret acts. Thought it'd be really good. There were trapeze artists, jugglers, magicians, a tightrope walker. It was amazing. It's a little theatre in New Cross in the round. And I thought it was going to be brilliant. And we got these seats in the front row to see the artists up close. But then I realized that presenting each act was a comedienne. And she did a thing between each of the circus acts. And her thing was audience participation. Can you guess where this is going? And she particularly liked the participation, Joe and Teresa, of those in the front row. But don't worry, I'm not like her. Now, audience participation, I quite like a bit of banter in the public spotlight. But my wife and daughter, Rebecca, was with us. This is their version of hell. So they were going like this, not giving any eye contact at all. But I was taking notes for a sermon. Who knows, maybe I could use this one day. And sure enough. And so she picked me. I'm brought out into the center stage. The Albany Theatre is in the round. Just as I'm getting out, with a bit of fear and trembling, hoping it's not going to be rude, you never know, Rebecca, our daughter, she whispers to me, "Don't tell any of your jokes that." I say, "I'll do my best." You know, she's just going like this. Anyway, the comedienne has got these games. This game is with a table tennis ball. I think, maybe it's a game of table tennis. That's my specialist subject. But no, it was throwing the table tennis ball. You had three goes. It's very exciting. Throwing the table tennis ball into like a basketball hoop. But it was a lot smaller than that, only just bigger than the table tennis ball, 10 yards away. So the whole of the Albany Theatre watching. First two attempts, utterly pathetic. The audience is in stitches. The comedian, you know, this is just grist to the comedic mill. But anyway, third attempt. I decide to not be so cool with the basketball throw. I go not quite so cool, but more effective, the underhand throw. Long story short, in the net. Rapturous applause from the audience. Especially two women with my surname in the first row, who until then were just about to leave. Have you ever been in a show where suddenly you're called onto center stage and you are the show? The book of Ruth in the Old Testament is just such a story. It is God's word describing the lives of two people, Ruth and Boaz, who God brought onto his stage to use them mightily in his purposes. And where the analogy to the Albany Theatre falls down, God's center stage, the center stage of God's kingdom, is commonly out of the public spotlight, as it was for most of Jesus' life, as it was for the remarkable story told in the book of Ruth. Very few knew about it. They lived for an audience of one. God, whose character this is described in 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 9. This, a word of God will be before us. This is the theme of this chapter. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Ruth chapter 2 is the story of two people who are like this. And this promise in God's word from 3,000 years ago describes what he's still doing. We are going to see what a heart fully committed to God looks like in Ruth and in Boaz. How God strengthens, uses, blesses them in his work on earth that Jesus calls his kingdom, where God's power is at work. I'm going to invite you to consider what the work of God's kingdom is in the life of Ruth, the life of Boaz, in the life of you. Would somebody like to read Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 to 12? You need to come out here. There's no ping pong balls to throw into a net. Just the word of God. I'll give you the microphone and you have to read it. Arthur, thank you.
Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. How far am I going? Thank you. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of the harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' And she went into the field and has worked steadily from morning until now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz says, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge."
Thanks, Nathan. To understand what is happening here, we'll do a quick recap from last week of chapter 1. Ruth has made a life-changing decision. It is to go with her mother-in-law, who is called Naomi, back to Naomi's home in Bethlehem. Both women are widows. Both of these widows, Naomi and Ruth, they face a precarious future. But Ruth, as the younger woman, has more to lose. And she accompanies Naomi in this great act of faithfulness, the sort of act God loves, the sort of acts that God's eyes range throughout the world to see. It's summed up, if you turn back one page from your Bible, it's summed up by Ruth, verse 16, chapter 1, saying to her mother-in-law, "Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people, your God, my God." It is an act of great faith. And here's something which might not be obvious. The land where Ruth is from, Moab, was in great hostility going back centuries with Israel. It's like an immigrant coming to a land where everybody in the land thinks, what possible good person could come from such an awful place as Moab? She has a lot to lose. She is a young woman in an era where at the end of the book of Judges, everyone does their own thing. It's a godless era, as we were hearing last week. As we heard in the reading just now, it's a time and a place where young women could be molested by men very regularly. It takes the strict instruction of the landowner Boaz to prevent that. Her future as a foreigner in Bethlehem is precarious, to say the least. So here we are in chapter 2. She, along with Naomi, are like this. This picture here of an empty jug reflects chapter 1, verse 21, what Naomi says about her situation. She has got no faith and no resources. This empty jug represents what on the surface seems to be Ruth's situation. The Lord sent me away full. He has sent me back empty, says Naomi. She has no hope. But chapter 2, Ruth has. And she hears, verse 1, that there is a relative on her side who is a man of standing. His name was Boaz. The word Boaz in Hebrew literally means man of honor or worth. And Ruth, with the faith that she has, maybe faith as small as a mustard seed, who wants Naomi's God, the God of Israel, to be her God, throws herself on the mercy of God. And it is unclear whether it's her decision to go to the field of Boaz, the man of honor, or whether God guides her there. Verse 3, as it turned out, she found herself there. As it turned out. One word that appears nowhere in the whole of Scripture is coincidence. Another word that appears nowhere in the whole of God's word is luck. But God's eyes range throughout the whole earth to see the one whose heart is committed to him, who he can guide. Throughout the book of Ruth, God's hand of guidance is at work behind the scenes. He loves to guide those who are guidable, and Ruth is one of them. How guidable are you and I? It turned out that Ruth finds herself there. It turns out that Boaz is just returning from Bethlehem on that day. Like a comedian in the theater looking for a volunteer in the front row who gives them eye contact, so God, metaphorically speaking, is like that. Who is looking for, as it were, volunteers to join in with what he's doing. Naomi isn't. Her emptiness is not only her circumstances, but also her heart. But Ruth has the faith, spelt R-I-S-K, this young unmarried woman going out into the fields, relying on the social welfare system of Israel, but at a godless time. But she finds a godly man. So, he is Boaz. Now, here's what his jug is like. This jug over here on this table is full. He is full of God's favor in his circumstances. Look at the reading. He's got many people who are working for him. Verse 4. All of the harvesters greet him. He's got a foreman looking after his harvesters. Verse 5. And he's a man of God. The God who is in his heart comes out in his words. The Lord be with you. This isn't just a casual greeting. This is an unusual greeting, especially in the godless age of judges that we are in here. He is a godly man who notices godliness in others. Boaz is attracted to Ruth's character because he sees in it the heart of righteousness and faith. That's where he notices Ruth. He's heard about her character. Verse 11. Have you got it? Are you with me? Ruth 2, verse 11. Look at what Boaz says. I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. How you left your father and mother in your homeland, came to live with a people you did not know before. It's an extraordinary act of faith. And Boaz is drawn to that. And that's why he provides for her. He's got, this becomes clear throughout Ruth, he's got no ulterior motive. We'll see that in the next chapter. He's going to be amazed that Ruth should come to him, as she will do, rather than a younger man. But his heart is to be used by God. He prays a prayer for Ruth. He says, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. And you see, God's eyes range throughout the world for those who are praying this sort of prayer, and then who conceivably will be the answer to God's prayer. Do you see how Boaz, like the full jug, answers his very own prayer? May the Lord repay you. And this is what Boaz does, isn't it? It takes a little while. You see, with what God has given us, he is looking, his eyes range throughout the world, with those who will bless, with the favor of what they have received from God, others. And Boaz does that initially, materially. Do you see what I mean? The whole purpose of the church worldwide is the same purpose God had for his people Israel. It's to be a visual aid, a sign of God's presence, his grace, his favor, his blessing that pours his resources, the one to whom belong the cattle on 1,000 hills, said the psalmist, into the lives of others. Boaz is that man. Boaz is the answer to his own prayer. He is the protector of Ruth and thereby Naomi. God wants to use his church to be the channels of his blessing to others. We are not running Alpha to look good, to sound good, because Holy Trinity Brompton does. No, it is meant to be a channel of God's blessing, of his good news, to other people who don't know his good news. Not because we are better, but because we have found God's good news. We are like, all of us, Ruth, without Jesus, are empty, without a hope of standing before God. Her material emptiness, Naomi's spiritual emptiness, is where we all stand apart from the grace of God. And God uses Ruth in her lowly situation and Boaz in his high social standing. Both of them taking a big risk, faith spelled R-I-S-K. It makes no sense for Ruth to go to a land where her nation are hated. It makes no sense for Boaz to associate himself with someone way below his social station. Do you see what I mean? But both of them have this heart of righteousness that God loves to use. God is looking for the Ruths, for the Boazes, to keep my metaphor of the Albany Theatre, who are ready to catch God's eye when they're called center stage for the audience of one who he is. Even in the godless age Boaz lives in, he doesn't know all of God's purposes for him. He doesn't know that one day, this is a spoiler alert, but anyway, you probably know it, that one day his name is going to be recorded in the genealogy of God's own son. Matthew chapter 1. Boaz is named. So is Ruth. As part of the family tree of Jesus, in hidden acts of righteousness, Boaz caring for Ruth, Ruth caring for her mother-in-law, throwing herself on at God's mercy. A man who has taught me a lot, Bill Hybels, who runs a church in Chicago called Willow Creek, speaks of the nudges of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is like a wind. And the wind of the Holy Spirit is looking for lives who, like sailing boats, have their sails hoisted, ready to catch the winds of his Spirit. And who in unseen ways, maybe seen by no one except the audience of one who God is, will be blown according to his purposes. It so happens that Ruth is in the field of Boaz. It so happens that Boaz sees her. Two godly people. Are you and I ready to be guided by the nudges of God's wind, the wind of his Holy Spirit? Are we like Ruth who says, let me go to the fields and seek someone in whose eyes I find favor, verse 2. The message of tonight is this, there is one in your favor. And Boaz is a Christ-like figure, this man of honor that Boaz means. His role we see as Naomi prophetically explains to Ruth a little bit later on in this chapter. Look at verse. It's a bit later on. I knew I should have written it down. It's around verse 20. She explains that Boaz is the kinsman redeemer of Ruth. This is a Jewish tradition. Boaz has the ability to redeem Ruth from her widowhood. It's the tradition where the male relative has the primary responsibility to marry a widow in his family. It's verse 20. Yeah. That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsman redeemers. It's a long shot. Not many Jewish men would want to marry a woman from Moab, but there is that possibility. Ruth has the faith spelled R-A-S-K, that maybe there is someone in whose eyes I find favor. Jesus on the cross is our Redeemer. The cross is the message. There is one. You know, you and I find favor. The same grace that inspires Boaz to pour his wealth into the emptiness of Ruth comes from the God who pours his love in the color of Jesus' blood into your life and mine. The God who now guides through the nudges of his Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit, guiding those who are open to catching his wind. On those, his favor rests. His favor rests on anyone. His eyes range throughout the whole world, for the one whose sails are hoisted to the wind of the Spirit. Do you get what I mean? Do you get what I mean? Now, there are a myriad ways to be used by God, as Ruth was, as Boaz was. What we do in this church is simply no more and no less providing some opportunities for those whom God nudges to be involved, to do so. Our prayer as a PCC, Parochial Church Council, that stands for, our prayer here is that for God's sake, God, please help us for your sake not to do anything that's not of you. It's just a fruitless exercise. Please nudge us into what is of you. This Christmas, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we are inviting everyone to get involved in letting ourselves be nudged by the Spirit on who we could conceivably invite to come to church at Christmas, to hear the good news, maybe as a first step towards going to Alpha. We pray that the wind of His Spirit would take who we are and what we do for the extraordinary purposes, whether we are like Ruth or Naomi, pretty empty, actually, or whether we're like Boaz, full of possibility. And like Ruth, we could say, oh, well, God, I have just got nothing to offer. My life is just totally empty. I don't have anything to give. But God's word declares He specializes in filling the empty. Or you could say like Boaz, I'm just way too busy and full of stuff in my life. And God's word declares that He specializes in using the resources of the rich in such a way they're never shortchanged. We have a Redeemer wherever we are, whether we're empty or full, rich or poor, young or old, full of faith, struggling with even a mustard seed of faith. God's eyes range throughout the world to seek those who will join Him on stage, not on one with a public spotlight, but the stage of His kingdom, stage of His kingdom. As the band come forward, I'm going to pray for us, before we sing in this song, this declaration that we have a Redeemer. We have one whose eyes are on us. We have one in whom we find favor. We have a Boaz, one who out of his riches fills us in our poverty. Would you please stand with me? And just in a moment, just ask you in the quiet of your hearts to ponder where you feel you are tonight, like a Ruth with a mustard seed of faith, feeling like you're in a strange land, whatever that means for you. You are a Boaz who God has already mightily blessed. And you're wondering where to invest, pour some of your blessing, not really sure where God is calling you to pour some of His favor He's poured on you onto somebody else. Lord God, I thank You that Your church the world over declares there is a Redeemer. His name is Jesus. And You delight to use Your people wherever we are at for purposes that are eternal. I pray, Lord, that You would nudge each and every one of us by Your Spirit. As Rachel said earlier on, it's just me and you, that You would nudge every single one of us by Your Spirit to serve the purposes of Your kingdom. Of the purposes of your kingdom. We sing.